the good performance, so those that really felt like it was unfair to be monitored, those are the drivers that are more likely to break the rules when they are being monitored, and particularly rules that the managers cannot observe. Installing the GPS device broke the trust that managers and drivers had in each other.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. Managers often can't observe how much effort their workers are putting into a job. Some technology offers a way to solve this problem by monitoring those workers automatically. And on the surface, well, this makes perfect sense. But do all workers put in more effort when they are monitored? Golvinder Rochambeau of Sciences Po has been researching what happened when Liberia's truck drivers were monitored using GPS trackers. And she joins me now. Golvinder, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Hello, Tim. Thank you for having me.
Golvin, a truck driver in Liberia. I imagine that this is not an ordinary job. What's the daily experience of being a truck driver there?
So typically what happens is that these drivers, they always drive the same truck, but it is not their truck. They're employees of the owner of the truck. Mm-hmm. So the way it works is that drivers are asked to transport goods from one point to another within Liberia. And often they're based in Monrovia, which is Liberia's capital. Mm-hmm. And then once they leave the capital, well, they're completely left to themselves, meaning that there is very little ways for their managers to actually monitor them. And besides, really, they don't know when they will get to their own destination. Even the managers don't know when they're going to get to their destination, because the time it takes to complete a route really varies a lot because of the weather, because of the traffic, the road condition. So no one really knows when they will arrive at the destination and when they will be back in town.
And if I am that truck driver, would I have a contract with my manager? And if I have a contract, what does that contract specify? What's it paying me for?
So no, typically drivers don't have written contracts with their managers. Actually, of the drivers I interview, less than half of the drivers have a written contract.
Gosh.
And even when they have a formal contract, it's really not easy for drivers to just go to a court of law if there is a disagreement, right? Mm-hmm. This is a context where we have relatively weak institutions. The way the contract works is that it's really an agreement based on trust between the driver and the manager. They're being paid a fixed wage and then sometimes a small bonus based on, say, the number of trips they complete, sometimes just a broad assessment of the performance of the driver. But because there is very little possibility for monitoring, this is really a contract that is based on trust, which is built over the years. They start working for their employer as helpers, and then with the years, they're promoted as drivers.
So if I wanted to slack off on the job and cheat a little bit, what the economists call shirking, would it be easy to get away with it? It sounds like it might be.
Well, relatively, yes.
Yeah.
So for the example, the drivers, they can stop on the way to see their families or their friends, mm-hmm. or to transport additional goods or people to make more money on the side. So it is very easy to shirk. And in fact, in some cases, it is common knowledge that there's going to be some level of shirking on the job. And actually, most of the time, the shirking doesn't impact whether the driver is able to overall complete the task. They're still able to deliver the goods that they're transporting to the destination. But it will impact the efficiency of the firm overall. Like the driver could arrive slightly earlier if he had not shirked, or mm-hmm. if they pick up additional goods, then this may deteriorate the truck in the long term, for example.
If I'm the manager, clearly no manager wants their workers to shirk. If I'm a manager in this context, I don't really know very much about what's happening along the route. So is there any way that I can prevent my drivers from shirking?
Well, from my discussions with the manager, really, there is no perfect way to do this.
Yeah.
Mainly what they did is that they relied on the things that they observe, such as the time of arrival, the state of the truck when it comes back, and other visible outputs. Mm-hmm. They also try to call the drivers to get some information about where they are located. But really, this information, they cannot verify it. Actually, Fun fact, I had one manager that I talked to, and he had quite an elaborate system to monitor his drivers mm-hmm. because he knew people along the way, and these people actually called him to tell him when they saw the truck go by.
Wow.
But even this pretty elaborate system did not allow him to perfectly monitor the drivers because he didn't know where the drivers were in between two points on the road.
There is one way commonly in which managers attempt to stop their workers shirking, and that's pay for performance. Is there any way that the managers could do that? Say, if you get back in this number of hours, you get paid more, for example.
So they could do that, and they did to a certain extent. But the key here is that this doesn't work perfectly because there is no perfect monitoring. Mm. And so if there is no perfect monitoring, this prevents manager from enforcing performance pay. So indeed, we have theoretical models in economics that have shown that if you are in a multitasking environment, you cannot perfectly measure each task, then performance pay may not be optimal because you're pushing workers to perform well on a certain task, but this might incentivize them to perform less well on other tasks. And in fact, when I asked the drivers whether they would like to be paid based on their performance, most of the drivers said, no, I would prefer not to be paid based on my performance because that would be really unfair, meaning there are other things that affect my performance. And so they wouldn't want their pay to actually depend on that.
Okay, then. Call for the economists, and the economists come and say, let's do some better monitoring. We have GPS trackers now. What does economic theory suggest might be the benefit of using this kind of monitoring with a GPS tracker?
In economics, historically, we have thought that more information was always better. So in this context, this means that we tend to think that providing more information to a manager is better for him. Mm-hmm. If anything, this should allow managers to better monitor the drivers by improving the efficiency of the firm. We think that with this new information, managers may be able to incentivize workers to provide more effort.
So you got involved in this when there was an experiment to install trackers on the trucks in Liberia. Tell me, what kind of firms were there that took part in this experiment?
So I worked with about 60 trucking firms that operate in Liberia, but these firms are really heterogeneous, meaning they're very different. Some of them only have one truck. Mm-hmm. So actually, most of them only have one truck. And then some have more than one truck, like two, and one firm's actually had more than 10 trucks. Mm-hmm. Now, all of these companies have a driver who is distinct from the owner of the truck. So there is this dimension that we have a driver and a manager who is a separate person. And these 60 companies, they actually represent 160 drivers.
So there aren't these huge standardized firms in Liberia with big fleets of trucks. You're installing these trackers on the trucks. What do these GPS trackers do? How do they work?
These devices, the GPS trackers that we installed in my experiment, they're small black boxes. They're mm-hmm. 3 inches by 2 inches. So really they fit in the palm of your hand. And they're installed in the truck's dashboard by a professional mechanic. And what this does is that it sends the GPS coordinates of the truck to an online server through a mobile network. And this allows the manager to go online and to know where the driver is at any point in time. So the manager now is able to know where the truck is whenever he wants to know.
And so the managers can find out whether the drivers are stopping off, how far they've got. If they call them, they can understand whether they're telling the truth or not. Is there anything that they can't monitor that would be relevant using these trackers?
Right. So using the trackers, the managers were able now to say whether the drivers were taking breaks, for example, and where their breaks were taking. So of course, they didn't know what the drivers were doing on these breaks, but by knowing the location of the break, now they basically could determine whether these breaks were unnecessary breaks. However, there are still a lot of things that the GPS trackers did not say. For example, the manager still didn't know if the driver took good care of the truck, or if the driver was taking on additional passengers or good for transportation, which typically the manager does not allow.
Nevertheless, it's a big step up in the amount of knowledge that the managers have about how the drivers are behaving. This is an experiment, so normally around this time I say, okay, so there's treatment and control groups. Did you have this? Were the treatment and control groups randomly assigned then?
Yeah. So in my experiment, I basically randomized at the truck level, right? Because the GPS tracker is installed on the truck. And so all of the trucks in my sample, so this is about 150 trucks, all of the trucks in my sample had a 66% chance of receiving a GPS tracker. Mm-hmm. So there were some of them were assigned to treatment, some of them were assigned to control, but all of this was randomly selected.
And in the treatment group, did the performance of the drivers improve by how much?
Well, this really depends actually how you measure performance, right? So measuring performance is not an easy thing to do, but the measure that I have is speed. So I interview both drivers and managers and I ask them where they went, where the drivers went, and how long it took them to complete that route. And I measure that drivers who have the GPS tracker are improving speed by about 60%, which is huge.
Wow.
But that is only part of the performance of the driver. So, for example, it doesn't take into account whether the driver is taking good care of the truck, and this may lead to additional costs for the manager in the long term. This improvement in performance, it doesn't account for other tasks.
And before, the drivers had a lot of autonomy. They could make their own decisions and no one could really monitor them. They must have quite liked that. Did they like having the trackers installed on their trucks?
Well, no, not surprisingly, but I don't think actually any worker likes to be monitored.
No.
The drivers actually, they told me that they felt like someone was looking over their shoulder constantly. Mm. And that's not a nice feeling, of course. So we actually had a lot of pushback from drivers not to install the GPS trackers. In many cases, the drivers tried convincing their managers that the GPS trackers were unnecessary and so that we wouldn't install them.
And then did some of the managers listen to their drivers and not install those GPS trackers on the trucks in the treatment group?
Yeah, we have a significant share of drivers that actually convince their managers not to install the GPS trackers. And what we do is that we compare these drivers before the experiment to know how they differ from the drivers for whom the GPS tracker was installed. And what we find is that the managers chose not to monitor the drivers that were performing well at baseline.
Okay.
These were the drivers with whom they had a good relationship and the drivers who had a good record. So these were the drivers that were unlikely to take unnecessary breaks, less likely to have accidents. These are also the drivers who were the most unhappy about being monitored.
I can imagine. How did they respond to being monitored if they did have these trackers installed then?
These drivers, they were really not happy about being monitored. So actually, they end up being more likely to break unobservable rules when they're monitored. So the drivers themselves told us and reported that they were actually more likely to break the rules that the manager was not likely to find out. So we do that by interviewing all of the drivers before and after the experiment. And what we see is that the good performance, so those that really felt like it was unfair to be monitored, those are the drivers that are more likely to break the rules when they are being monitored, and particularly rules that the managers cannot observe.
So to confirm, Govin, did their performance actually get worse?
Well, it really depends how you measure performance, again. But if you think of performance as the set of tasks that we were able to measure, then indeed it seems that they did not improve their speed because they were already going at a speed that was okay and they were not shirking. But they did start breaking the rules that had been set up by the managers. So if you think as overall performance as the set of tasks that we have been measuring, then indeed their performance has decreased.
So this is fascinating as a window into what really happens in the world when we try to install this monitoring technology. Govin, you said you interviewed the drivers. Do we understand why they started breaking rules that before they had observed?
It seems that the installation of the monitoring device disrupted some sort of equilibrium or agreement between the driver and the manager.
Uh-huh.
In a sense, installing the GPS device broke the trust that managers and drivers had in each other. So I mentioned before that the contract between the driver and the manager really relies on trust. And it seems that installing the GPS device actually broke this agreement that was going on. Behaving in a less efficient way by breaking explicit rules is a way for the drivers to retaliate against the decision of the manager to monitor them.
This is quite surprising on one level, but on the other hand, is this something that just happens among truckers in Liberia, or do we have evidence that this might be a more general effect?
So we have very little evidence on this, and my paper definitely does not speak to that. It only speaks to, you know, this particular context of trucking companies in Liberia. But personally, I think this is a much broader issue. It is particularly salient in a place where you don't have complete monitoring. This might be more common in developing countries where monitoring technologies and monitoring devices in general are less common. But this is also very much present in other contexts and maybe in more developed contexts. So if you think, for example, of executive jobs, these are really not easily monitored. So these are the types of jobs where workers may be able to retaliate if you introduce monitoring to them.
There is an example of a newspaper office in the UK where my colleagues were monitored at their desks. And I get the feeling that this did create that sort of behavior among them. So
I'm absolutely. Not surprised. Yes. I'm happy to see that there is new evidence. And no, I'm not surprised.
The managers in your experiments, they seemed to understand that there was this potential motivation problem, didn't they? Because they were reluctant to install those trackers, and they avoided it in some cases, which I imagine this must have been frustrating for your experiment, but you can see why they did it. Are they behaving optimally as managers?
So it's hard to really measure optimality because, again, here we're not sure we're capturing all of the tasks of the drivers and all of the performance measure and the efficiency of the firm. But indeed, so in our case, managers decided not to monitor some of the best performing drivers. And we see, you know, that some of the good performing drivers who were actually monitored, they retaliated. So for the managers, there seems to be a trade-off between learning new information through monitoring and avoiding the retaliation of good drivers. The result of this trade-off is the decision of the manager, and they know how this will impact the efficiency of the firm. So in our case, some managers decided that it was optimal to avoid the retaliation of good drivers. Others indeed seem to have installed the drivers, and we see this retaliation effect.
Well, it's not news, is it, that many employment contracts are incomplete and they allow workers to shirk without being observed. And also, it's not new that there are these technologies to monitor workers in ways that might offset that problem. But economists have noted that in many workplaces, they have been slower to be introduced than we might have thought. Is what you're discovering here potentially an insight into that problem, that managers understand that there are more impacts to installing these than perhaps we think if we're just thinking about how do we get people to work hard?
Indeed. Here I show that implementing a technology that solves the principal agent issue can have adverse consequences. And these adverse effects might be part of the reasons why firms are reluctant to adopt these technologies to begin with. And in fact, it's not the only instance when there is pushback from workers to install new technologies, right? There's also this soccer ball paper in Bangladesh where they got pushback from the workers to actually install a new technology within the firm. And it was, again, a contracting issue. So I think that these types of contracting issues and the adverse effects that it can have, particularly at the level of the worker, can explain why technologies are not being adopted by these firms.
But let's think about taking it out of the manager's hands. For truckers who work in many advanced economies, there is monitoring in their cab, and that's in there for safety reasons, to make sure that they don't work too long or drive too fast. And that's a legal requirement. The government is effectively putting that monitoring in their cabs. Does that have a different impact if the government does it, it's done because it's the law, compared to if managers are doing it, we're doing it because we want you to work harder?
So in my case, I cannot say for sure, but I would think so. And the reason I think that this would have a different effect is that it seems that in my case, the retaliation of good performers really follows like a tit for tat effect in that they want to retaliate against the decision of the managers to monitor them. If there is a third party that just decides that every driver should be monitored, then you wouldn't have this retaliation effect, or they wouldn't be able to retaliate against this third party by just, you know, shirking on their jobs. So you wouldn't see the adverse effects that I do measure in my case. But of course, my paper doesn't test for this, so I leave it to future research to actually show this mechanism.
Yeah, it is a fascinating insight, your paper, nevertheless, into how management of workers, especially in these situations, is perhaps not quite as easy as many of us imagine it could be. Also, these monitoring technologies are not the magic solution to some of these problems. Gulveen, thank you very much for talking about it.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks a lot. It was great talking to you.
The paper is called Monitoring and Intrinsic Motivation, Evidence from Liberia's Trucking Firms. And the author, of course, Gulveen de Rochambeau. There are several versions of this around, so if you want the most up-to-date one, I recommend that you go to gulveen.com and you'll find it there. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe. Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find us there. And our past episodes, as always, are at voxdev.org, where we also have articles about the papers we feature.